Hello, I'm on the air. This is Kathy Cook, and I'm going to be bridging wisdom. I'm also known as Bright Lights Pathfinders. That is plural because everyone is a bright light searching for their path to find their way. And I believe I found home, actually. It's a really amazing feeling to know when you know that you know that you know to know. I started singing this song, everybody. I have to document. Today is June the 19th, 2012. That's a time stamp. And I started saying, I know that you know that you know I know. And it was so funny. It started this song. I don't know. Just think about it. I know that you know that you know. I know that you know. I know that you know. It's kind of like one of those things when your kids get in trouble. You know that they know that you know. Anyway, a lot of things have been transpiring in my life. I continuously think that I have come out of the forest, the million-mile journey. But I continuously find myself on another path in there. But maybe it's because I love the earth so much and the nature. I got a lot of gifts this week. A lot of gifts. Did a lot of storyboards. I tend to put out things in a story. I use anything in the house to anything in nature. I don't usually know what I'm doing it for until later on. I'll take some pictures and, you know, contemplate and just comes out the way it's supposed to. Like my kids even know not to even come out of the house or, you know, not to move anything unless it's asked by the mother giving permission. I mean, even to turn it in a piece of paper, because that's just how I've been all my life. Michael will not be joining us this evening, which was a great regret. He and I have such good conversations. He is very, very, very busy and getting a lot of public appearances. So we want to give him some support and love. And you can reach him at Michael_Gober, the number 1, at yahoo.com. And he does intuitive consultations as well. I want to discuss going into the forest. A friend of mine is more than a friend, let me tell you. Ron God love him. He taught me so much. He told me that I was always someone's mother, someone's daughter, someone's grandchild, someone's sister, someone's friend, someone's wife, someone's girlfriend. And it was the most difficult decision, one of the most difficult decisions we both ever had to make. And we held hands every night, going to sleep. I had to let my hand go for me to go into the forest to find out who I was, where I was coming from, get to know myself. At first, when I started journaling about it, it was like, well, you know, as soon as I'm told no, or any human being is told no, the ego is born. So therefore, I'm out of the forest. On the left side is how I see it in my visions. So like the left side, and there's a fence, but it stops. The fence stops, and I'm an adult, but my childhood too is being told no. Thus, I walk into the forest. Puppy Wuppy Girly Whirly was always with me in the forest. She were. I learned a lot in there. And I continuously learn in there. I learned that the other day, I learned that the leaves, if we look at our leaves on our tree, our bushes, and then you look at you can see the veins in one particular leaf, just one individual leaf. You can see the veins in the stem. Just really examine, especially the colorful ones. Look at the new ones when they come out in the spring. But everyone, I hope that you do listen up and tune into this part, because I do not prepare for my shows, my broadcasts. Whatever comes to mind, because I believe that I would take the flavor out of the concoction of the message if I sat there and contemplated on what to say. So I'm a free spirit. I've always been a free spirit, and I'm a very headstrong, strong-willed person. However, I'm very deep and very, very, very phlegm of melancholy and sanguine, because I do speak out a lot. Puppy. So, if you take a picture of the lungs, why is she doing that? If you take a look at your lungs, okay? Because God gives us two gifts when we first come into this earth. He breathes into us, and he says to go out and multiply and reproduce. Now, the tree is the tree of life. It's the family tree. It's the tree of knowledge. It is our roots. And how I came through to this is I love to take chalk and pastels and all kinds of mediums and smear it all over the paper. And then I'll rub it off. And it doesn't have a pattern when I'm placing it on there. It just goes. You know, I just put it on there. Then when I rub it off, I'll look inside and see it. This particular takes about 2 years to make one. But the thing that that happened this last time is my son, Matthew, and his wife, Jackie, just told me that I was going to have my second grandchild. And it's a boy, and it's named after Jackie's father is David. My brother's name is David, but it's named after her father. And the middle name, Walton, after my father and, you know, my brother's and sister's father and their papa. It just is elating news. And I ironically was looking at the drawing that I drew, came into the very bottom had all these, like, they looked like roots to me. And so I started following it up. There was at the top, there was a big old, it looked like an egg. It was pink. I took pictures of it, so I'll probably put them somewhere when I learn how to do a web page. But it was pink, and I just started outlining the image that I saw. Lo and behold, was it not my grandbaby? Wasn't my grandbaby, but it was a picture of a little baby and a woman. It was nestled into the trees, you know, the leaves. And I started going down, and it had an umbilical cord. It had a swan over it as feeding the umbilical cord. Either it was a stork one, but it was quite amazing. And it branched, the bottom root of that tree branched off into other trees. But what I'm getting at is breathing life into our lungs. The trees are like our lungs. And the roots are our walking knowledge. I got a walking stick from the old wise wisdom tree that I used to sit and say, "Oh, wise wisdom tree, tell me what you know. You've been here so many years." I was so young. And thank God I had a family that accepted my outgoing, inquisitive imagination into reality later down the road. It's become quite a reality that others are picking up and having a light mind, almost like a Christ consciousness. It's amazing. And why do I say and? I got that tree died when everybody moved away in Indian land. And I took the daddy's old hatchet and I chopped, got the most beautiful walking stick with spirals, all kinds of stuff on it. It's just beautiful. That's a strength that, to me, represents the root, like a deep root reading, like a deep root. We have to get to the root of the matter. Even when we're hurt or happy, sad, whatever, if we look at, we ask why, we got to look at the what, when, where, how. And I mean, really look at those. What, where, when, why. There's your what, where, when, how. There's your why every time. Every single time. So I learned that with the three. And then I looked at the leaf the other day, because I always get a gift from nature. It doesn't matter if it's a button, a string, or something. It's going to tell me something that I need to know later. Now, this is going to blow some minds. I've been holding my breath and not breathing properly. And I felt like I was in a chamber for the past couple of weeks or months. And all of a sudden I heard, "You're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die, you don't, blah, blah." And I opened up the back door, the front door, and went outside. And also knowing, as if I had been in water. And finally caught my breath. And I realized my house is so closed tight and so sealed. I finally opened up the back doors and the back walls because that's where the sun comes in. And it still wasn't enough. I was still feeling really faint and dizzy. So I opened up, you know, a breezeway. And all of a sudden I felt like I had brand new lungs. Now the tree basically was what was telling me that because I saw that maple leaf and I saw the, you know, the little veins inside, like the capillaries or whatever to the lungs, the bronchial tubes. And I know that the trees outside are what breathe the air and filter the air so that we can breathe properly. And I know I smoke too much, but I've learned to smoke just at the tip of my lungs and blow it out. Still, that's neither here nor there. What I'm getting at is that we have got to have enough trees in this earth. And I do understand that we have to use the trees in order to prosper and, you know, make the things that we need to make, but we've got to place them back. I've always been one to ask anything in nature, if I may, and I will get a feeling inside. Even my head will be like a pendulum and go, yeah, a spiral, do a loop-de-doo. But just like the other day, I'm going to give you an example. It was last year, Michael and I went and picked it was magnolias. Because I was raised on magnolia the first couple of years of my life. And we were at my mother's. And we asked, can we have you? Can we have you? And so many of them said yes, but one particular one said no. And it was the one that we both wanted. We took it anyway, and it died before we even got to the car. Now, the other day, 2 or 3 days ago, I was going to see my daughter. And these new cornflowers came up. They're like purple. They hang down like a ballerina dress, but the center is a really is cornflower. Center is really tall and orange like a button. And I brought her some gardenias, but I asked if each one could I have them. Now one of them didn't, you know, not that they answer me, but one didn't feel right. But I thought, well, I'm in a hurry. Went to pull it; it wouldn't let me have it. I started yanking. I knew because if it doesn't break off just right. It's not supposed to be, but I did have to leave it. Split happened. It just broke my heart because plants do have feelings. I noticed with my plants that I've got two plants in the house. I have to talk to them, touch them, love them, and let them know that, you know, that there is someone that cares for them. And I also realize that my body is like a plant or a tree that has to have the water. I don't drink enough water. And if you think of your body like a tree, and then you think of someone that you get with, that you're married or your mate, as a one, when you say I do or you're in a relationship, it's one trunk. And then most of the times you'll see a wea tree where the trees will split, you know, two big trunks going off and then combine together. That to me is like a marriage tree, a relationship or commitment tree, an intimate relationship. And then you think of your child, you have a child together. Well, you think when the fall comes, the leaves drop down into the soil, and then they turn into mulch, root rot, mulch. I mean, you know, not root rot, but mulch. And then they go down into the root system, into the dirt, and then they travel up and through the sap, which is like the blood of the tree or our tree, you know, being grounded in what we feed, eat, and our grounding. And you think of how it comes out into a branch or bud, or it even does itself into a more like a, it could be a flower. But think, it rejuvenates, rebirth, rejuvenates, rebirth. Comes another part. Sometimes the tree will drop a seed, and there'll be many seeds in the forest. I noticed when I was in the forest, in my vision quest. And I noticed that the trees, there were some saplings that were, you know, they were everywhere. But I noticed that they bow out and allow one or two major trees to transform. And they become the food for the bigger tree. Because you'll see, notice in the forest, the ones that are leaning way into the light are really straight. The ones that are leaning way over and into the light, that is grasping for the vitamin D, grasping for our plasma, which is the red blood, grasping for the vitamin D, which is, the nutrients to the tree, which gives the leaves, the breath, the oxygen. It filters from the ozone and comes on down, which we start breathing in and out as a tree. Now, where I'm going with this is that if we don't respect one another and allow each tree to become the me tree, and then later turn up from ups from down right side down and from me to a we, W-E-M-E, and that's like west and east, like we're doing right now. BBS Radio is Paradise, California. It's on the west, the W. Here I am on the east coast, the east side, and even though it's in the south, it's the east. You know, that is the door gate opening to me, is the bridging that says W-E, we. That's how I learned how to do north, south, east, and west. But I do know that there's a lot of symbolic meanings anywhere and everywhere, everything. I don't care if it's a button. It's got a message. Because I like to take little things that have little holes in them, and I'll hold them up to my eye. And it takes everything out of the way so that I can focus right in on that one particular thing, where it stops at. So if you think, if you are in the forest and you have a situation going on, ask yourself, are you looking at the entire forest, which is gorgeous, it's like a majesty, or are you looking at the one tree, the one situation, the one seeking of the understanding, not asking questions, because with more questions, answers come, If I seek the understanding, that gives me the understanding of exactly that particular specific what, where, when, how, why. So with that given, the water is very important, but I like to start with my cup totally empty. People ask if their cup is half full or half empty. Why is that? What is this problem that they're looking at it for? Where, when, where, you know, all that, and you get the why. But if I start with my cup totally empty, I can fill it up every day with who I choose to call my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit dwelling only in me. He is the everlasting waters. Everlasting forever is God. And that way, if I fill my cup up with speak for me, do for me, act for me, be for me, think for me, live for me, show me your way and not mine, move mine out of the way, fill my cup up with the living water so that I can live the right way and the narrow way and the straight way and stay on the railroad tracks instead of derailing and, you know, getting off and, or detouring or whatever. I need to stay on that straight and narrow. Because those tracks can take me straight into the way that I need to be. I need to not look at detours. I am very, 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 very non-filtered at that. I'll start bouncing. And I need to, I'm confession time. I need to start being more open-minded and not denying what I know. I know, you know, I know, you know, I know. I've got to do that. I should apply this to me. I need to start speaking more in a clarified way because I do take others totally literally and, you know, linguistically, I take that and use it as exact. And I find that that contradicts things later. So I have got to apply. That's why I'll be listening to a radio show or something. I'm just, blah, blah, blah. And if I'm doing that ever, then I know, you know, I know, you know, I know. That's something I need for me, because no one has the power to cause anyone how to feel, be, say, speak, do, act, react, unless they choose it. I have got the most amazing team of teachers that are helping me, as well as I prayerfully know that I am giving back. It's a give and receive. You have to give out, receive, give out, receive. Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. Give, receive. Action, reaction. Breathe in, breathe out. Two, two, two. Everything is two. You have to have it. But the two makes a union, like a marriage. See, it becomes evenly yoked. An individual with a like mind, consciousness, group consciousness, combines together very smoothly, resonates, coheres together like a glue. And that way they become one plus one minus one equals one. That's done. I don't know. Any questions? Let's see. Let me ask myself a question. How long does it take me to get to where I am? It's a never-ending story. It's a never-ending. Every day, more and more applies. Awake to absorb more knowledge that will apply to wisdom each and every day. So, if I pay attention and I listen, actively know that energy and feeling, then I have an open vessel to be able to get what I need and answer and questions. And the birds, they have their own song. They work together as a group, respecting each and every bird. Here's what I'm going to get at. Do you remember the other week when I was, no, I haven't been on broadcast in a while. I was seeing turtle. The turtle is something that goes very, very slow, the tortoise. But it captures all the information very slowly, stays in the same direction. And the hare, the rabbit, the tortoise and the hare, then the race. The rabbit's everywhere, but it's going to finish the race first. But what information did it gain? Half pieces of this, a little concoction of that. That's where I want to just say why I have not written my books, even though God told me to write them back in the 80s. Because I have so many journal entries, so many. And in order to do it properly, I have got to go slower, know exactly how I want it, what I want it to be like, which I want it to be like a study type thing. That's for me, but I do a lot of poetry. But it's coming. It's going to be there. I've got three or four in the works. What I want to do, and I would love for other people to do this as well. Think of if, the old days, back in the day, I'm 56, but back in the day, we had storybooks, which had anywhere from 10 to 25 short little stories in it, like the whole Reader's Digest. What if? Several authors started doing like what I want to do. I want to take a little bit of, this and keep it simple. Don't get all into the blah, blah of it, but because it will keep going to the next volume two or volume three, volume four. Think of if we all had that volumes of even if we didn't sell it, but we had storybooks from each situation or dream, say all your dreams in one chapter, or just a set that you choose to share with, but that is dreams. And then you go to, say, relationships. Write down things about your relationships. Turn it, go to story three. Write about your spirituality. Turn it. You see what I'm saying? You can have a part one, part two, part three. But it would be, I feel that people's books would be best, better for my understanding in small sections, just like when we eat and we put portions on our plate. You know, we don't just eat one big, you know, piece of meat. We like to have a variety. That's what I'm going for. And I'm putting it out there to hopefully see some others, yay, have that as well. I would love, I was invited to this virtual classroom a couple of weeks ago. It was really cool, but it was a little over my head because it started in the advanced class and it was a little far for me to comprehend. Plus, I came in at 2 minutes before the thing started. That's me, though. I'm going to try to do a little better on that. There's a site, and I'll have to get the link. I don't want to touch my computer right now because, you never know when it's going to go on at all. But it's in my email, and I don't want to lose track. Stay on track. I'm on the railroad tracks. I got to stay on track with the train of thoughts coming. Train of thoughts on the stay on track railroad tracks. So I have to stay with this train of thought. I want to get back to me fussing and using my mother voice here, coming down with it. I know, you know, I know, you know, I know. But in order for me to learn that I know, you know, I know, you know, I know, I have to stay within my relationship with myself. Okay? Right? One in one, unity. Two make one plus one minus one equals one. So even though we're all group conscious, Christ conscious, every evolving conscious, telepathic, whatever we think, so it shall be, speak, and it becomes. We have to learn through meditations, and it's a very long process. It's the rest of your life of learning to go into yourself. Find your spot, as God says, pray to me in the secretest garden of your heart, in the darkest secret garden of your heart. And now I understand that. Because if I was constantly connected to everyone, then who knows which is what is mine or a lesson that I learned. Yes, absolutely, we connect to one another at a given time. But when y'all feel me in the classroom or in our studies or in whatever we're doing, through music or whatever, because music will speak to everybody. Broadcast speaks to everybody. I've started turning on TV once in a while just to see what's up. But everything has a message and a meaning for everyone, even feelings. The thing is until I cohere to what it is, I cannot share out. It'll look like just what it looks like say my little altar over there with the storyboard. You'll see the stones over there, and you'll see junk everywhere, and I'll think for a second certain things, but if I go into myself like this, y'all feel whoever's out there connecting, it'll make the energy stay within myself till I get the understanding. Then I can share. Hey, look what I found. You know, then it connects to the conscious levels of being. What is that bleep bleep thing I heard? Is something to me? Because I don't usually take calls on this broadcast, but I do appreciate anyone that wants to tap in with a thought. If they have a question or seeking an understanding of anything, I'm open for those inputs. How do you know when you're ready? By asking that question. If it brings you resonation to, if you ask, how do you know when you're ready to make that step into understanding things and connecting to other people like that, then you know you're ready if it brought it up to you. where will you find different groups and places to do certain things that you are in like minds? Well, just like drumming. Get on. I've learned the other day there's something called Meetup. You can type in the internet and it gives you every meetup in the world. You can even make your own. I have a lot of issues with my hips and legs and my back. It comes and goes. So one day I can walk great. The next day, all of a sudden, bam, it'll hit me. Because I have these discs that slip and they hit on sciatic nerve. But I don't really, that doesn't bother me. But that's why I can't get out and about. That's why I cannot, at this particular time, go out of my house. I can go to my daughter's. I can go around the little, you know, area, but I can't go shopping. I have to rely on other people to even bring me clothes or buy me clothes because I can't get out there and do it. And that's just, thank God, Scarlett's, which is for larger women because I'm a larger woman from medication steroids that I was in back long ago. And because I rarely eat, I hardly eat there. I eat like a little bird. But I call him Todd David. His name is David. He's right across from Southport on Sharon Amity and Fairview in Charlotte. He goes to New York and gets the most beautiful outfits. He and I are connected enough to where he knows body style, shapes, everything. And if he does, if he sees something that doesn't look right on me, and he'll bring it by. He'll bring the clothes by and he'll bring jewelry by or whatever. But that's who I stay with. Now, Mady gave me this shirt I've got on today. Some people, you know, Mady, she'll pick out, she's the godmother of my children, she'll pick out wonderful things. But what is it about clothes and hair? Let me give y'all an understanding about my hair. My hair does not have one single split in on it at all, but it has grown uneven. I have not cut it but one or two times since my daughter's wedding, and that was in 2008. And it's all frayed that, you know, it looks like it needs mayonnaise on the end of it. But let me tell you something. My dad and I were tight, and I am growing my hair for Loves for Locks. I cannot put anything on it. It has to be all natural. And it's a little yellow from smoking. But it doesn't have a single split in on it. And I don't want to cut it. Every time I've done this, I cut it the nap of my neck, you know, right at my ear. This time I'm letting it grow and grow and grow so that I can clip it off at my shoulders, say, or right above my shoulders. So bear with me with my hair. You know, that's a good example of, wow, that's why, you know. No one knows. Let me think of something. No one knows what's inside of a house. The hurts, the wants, the love, the care. What you see is but a house. It's what the soul will wear. If you walk inside through the eyes, the windows to the soul, once you get there and you know that one's story is told, look within so deep and strong. Within yourself, be true. Then bring out through your mouth and eyes of what others have for news. Bring in and out, like breath and wind and rain. The wind has got to have the rain to make the flowers grow. It's just like our lungs is important for all to know. Inside this house, that we're like a chamber till I open the door, did I not know that this house was all as if my body and my skin needs the sun and the trees and the wind and the earth to let my body grow. Well, I don't know exactly what I said, but I hope it resonated. I love that word. I never heard the word resonate till I heard Angels Are Near Us. I miss Seth. He does that commercial. That's an awesome, they use resonate a lot. But you think of this house that people are in, your inside house where your body is. And you think of your mouth as the door opening, right? Your eyes are the windows. Your ears are the vents, you know, or the TV or whatever. And your furniture is your clothing. Think of, that's how my mind works, though, y'all. That's just how it works. And the thermostat is, take them, I'm having hot flashes lately. That's my thermostat for my body. The water, the tub, you know, the shower. Sometimes I will go a lot. You know, that's something I have always done. I call it going into the forest or going into the sewage, wherever I need to go. There's no backup or water in the deep part of the woods. And then you're going to have to find a trail to find the water if you hadn't carried some with you. You know, it, and I'll have my little nest everywhere because I'm in my own bird nest. And when I'm ready to clean it up and change the scene, get a bath or whatever, eat whatever, then I've got my wings to fly. Because until then, this is my story. And this is how I do it. And this is how I have evolved so intensely, deeply, that there's so much inside of me to tap. If someone tapped in and tried to get my neurotransmitters or whatever, you know, like they do in a sleep study, you know, to tap your head with the sleep, because I need to go do that because I stopped breathing a lot in my sleep. But if somebody tapped the little wires into your sleep study, per se, okay, to see what stage of sleep you go into, it changes, because I know I have had two sleep studies, and one I didn't go into stage four ever of sleep, which is your deep sleep, and come out. However, my body has adjusted to only needing sometimes 2 or 3 hours sleep, sometimes 18 hours sleep, but it is not anything. What is normal? Are we in a day's age of society that things are normal, or are we all grouping together as a consciousness? Does that mean that everybody has to be on the same schedule or whatever? If I can't sleep, I get up. If I feel funny and I have something that I need to do for myself, I get up and I don't fight it. I'm being told to go to something in my journal, the blue journal. So let's see here. I keep hearing on and off switches. That must be the Skype thing. Oh, here's what I turned to. Okay. It's page one. It's notes for one of my books that I'm writing. Our page, it says, I'm a book. Take a look. You're the bait that's on the hook. And that means, like, if I'm learning from someone else, then they're the book. I take a look, and I'm the bait that's on their hook. And the hook only lasts with the bait as long as once one gets the understanding of what they're looking for in another, then the bait is taken, the fish is fed, which is, you know, food for thought, and the hook loses its power because it needs to be rebaited because that fish took it and, you know, got away. Okay. Communication is the core of our being. Everything communicates. Everything. It communicates to us information even without thought. It's automatic habit life. Reaching like for a crystal glass on the top shelf. And I'm using an analogy of my grandmother Hill here. It's like reaching for a glass on the top shelf that my grandmother had put placed in the china cabinet. And you know, she knows that she has it in her home. But automatically, I knew where that crystal vase or glass was. And I went to reach for it, and it wasn't there anymore. One thought triggers another and another and another. Someone had moved it. But without them, without me being within her own self, being a part of her, I didn't understand why it was moved. I just automatically went to it. So what that's given me as a message is that, you know, what one sees on the outside. Let's say someone trying out for a part in a play and their looks are different. What this is, looks can be deceiving. Just like that lady that sang and sang and sang. You know, once we get out of the visual, I close my eyes a lot when I am working because I don't want visual to interfere with feeling and understanding deep inside myself. So I'll just close my eyes so I can not see anything, but maybe something in my third eye if I need be. And I just breathe in the message so that I am not looking at the person, place, or thing. And then that, okay, it says one thought triggers another and another, and always thinking memories, reminiscing, could be of what ifs or analogies of what I'm doing or what I'm going to do, what I have to do, don't want to do, don't need help doing, should do, be doing, shouldn't be doing, can be done, couldn't be done. I'm getting out of this is everything has to have a positive, negative, or a force and reinforce. I know everyone is striving for oneness. Great. But we have to be one plus one minus one equals the one. If you think about this, nothing can be duplicated. Nothing. To be exactly like it was prior. Even a Jell-O mold, making Jell-O and you pour it in the mold, the little air pockets. Water. You know, somebody put up that water had a memory. I started looking into those little tears, into the little drops. You can literally see. Let me tell y'all how to see into things. Do you remember those newspapers that had all that smeary, you know, it just looked like a blob of colors that you stare out and let your eyes not focus on a logic. Use the right side of your brain and let it fall in, and all of a sudden it'll pop out into a three-dimensional picture. Remember those back in the newspaper? Well, you can do that with the leaves in the tree, the birds in the bush. But if you look out and you see where the light comes in and there's a space in the trees, the bigger spaces, that's like reading clouds. But I'm going to tell you something. You stare off into light at nighttime, you can see the leaves, auras touching each other, but you've got to stare through it. That's how I learned to read, you know, see auras, not to read them, but to see them. I use the trees a lot to get an answer. And that's why I like to use a button or if a toilet paper roll is sitting out because I blow my nose or something, I'll take that toilet paper roll and it'll focus it just to the right place. That's what I used at first, or either my finger, like a round O. I make little binoculars, yeah, but I would only use one eye because we don't need two because we're in the one right at the beginning. And I want to say something else. Everybody has an all-seeing eye. No. Did I touch a nerve? Everyone has an all-seeing eye. Think. We've got two eyes, right? One eye could be PBS radio. Watching me, listening to me to broadcast. That's one eye. Then here's my eye. But what's in between the eyes is the bridge. It's your nose, the bridge. So it's bridging wisdom. You know, that eye and that eye connecting together to understand and resonate and then focus together on what the message is. But we never, ever, ever have the same understanding unless it is exactly and precisely understood by the one first and then precisely expressed in detail, descriptive detail, like a vital statistics to another. It takes everyone to help me understand even what I learn, what I know, what I see. So I really don't know. I'm the type that's kind of like a prophetic visionary seer. Or you see the things in church, you know, people in church that one person can pray in tongue and it takes another to interpret it. I'm basically not knowing half the time what is going on in my outer world, why I put things like they are, what I do. And for an example, Puppy Whoopi, in order for her, she's really old and I'm having a hard time deciding whether to put her to sleep. I know I'm going to have to, but it's just difficult to let. She's been part of me for 15 years. But she loves cedar, which Bridget, a friend of mine that took me to the study with the Native Americans and took me to the drummers and took me to the sun dances and took me to the sweat lodges. She taught me that cedar is a boundary. And puppy, whoppy, when I light cedar, if y'all could only see her, she all of a sudden snips back. She can't even move or walk, but she'll all of a sudden snap back, sit straight up, you know, sit on her back legs and move all around. And she loves sweetgrass. She loves lavender. And she loves sage. So I'll mix all a lot of that together and I'll lay it around her bed or I'll put it around her bed. And, you know, I've got cedar up there at the top of my, it's an old antique 18th century door because my neighbor is losing a huge cedar tree on the other side of the fence. And it has been a blessing of a visionary for me to be able to see in between its branches to get a lot of my messages of what I need for the story. And it's kind of like a prayer, you know, that door gate that wherever that tree has taught me a lot. So I placed it on my 18th century door with shelves that's over the vent, which the vent, there's two vents right across from each other. And that is like the tree is on this side, you know, I'm thinking representing that tree that's died, it's dead. And then I look over at that beam that's across, separate my kitchen from my dining room, and that's that tree going on to the other side. But what it's doing is its seeds are resonating into something else in life. Even if it's soil, even if it's to nurture the earth. So if people come in and go, what is she doing? Where is she coming from? What does she practice? I practice nothing more than giving me something that I need to understand and help. And I put things out so that I can focus, and that represents that. I learned this basically in school because my teacher, my history teacher, my favorite teacher, Coach Jones, he was a wrestling coach. He used to come watch me ride my horse and everything. But he told me, he said, focus on one thing. He says, your mind can hold it like this. If you're to learn 25 things, you can't just learn all, let's take vocabulary words. You can't just take 25 vocabulary words and learn them all. He said, take four things, four vocabulary words, four definitions. Do each vocabulary word four times. If you're going to pick five, then you do each vocabulary word five times. If you do six, you do each vocabulary word six times. If you use three, you use each vocabulary word three times. Then you stop for 20 to 30 minutes. Let it resonate. Let it go here. Let it hook together. Here's the key. Here's the key. When I am focusing on one specific item, just like Lamaze breathing, your focal point, when you're getting ready to have a baby naturally childbirth. If I wanted to know what 1 + 1 - 1 is, I could focus, and it's going to be a test, and I have five things I want to learn. I'm going to say four. I will pick a tree that's maybe from Christmas that's in a little wreath that my nephew made. It's got little feathers, and I don't want to throw it away because it's so pretty, Taylor. But I'll pick, like, say that, and I'll go, okay. I'll stare at it, and I'll focus it, and I'll remember that 1 + 1 - 1 was that tree. Okay? And those four things that I learned, those four. Okay, next I'm going to go to the reason of why. What, when, where, how, and what, when, where, how, what. There's my why. So now I'll say, what, when, where, how, what. There's my why. That's why I ask questions. Why can't I find the answer to something? What happened? When did it happen? Where did it happen? How did it happen? Put those together. There's my why. I'll do that four times. Very slowly. Taking a two or three, not more than a 30 second to a minute break before I do it again. What happened? When did it happen? Where did it happen? How did it happen? There's my why. Then after I've done that four times, then I'll go to the second one. One, why, what is the answer to 1 plus 1 minus 1 equals 1? I'll do that four times. Then I'll go to the next one. You just keep doing it like that. Then you sit back. Then when I go to take a test or I need to pull it up in my memory bank, I'll go to the tree in the center of the little Christmas tree that's in the center of that wreath. Pulls it right up because it's a symbolic meaning to, you know, not that that tree had a meaning to those four things I'm trying to learn, but it is a symbol that pulls up in the head and you can see, you know, the answer more clearly. Let's say then you go to four more things and say you use a vase, a water vase. You know, you do the same thing again, but you use those four different ones with the water vase. So when the classroom all comes together and there's 25 questions on the big, massive exam, I would hide any and all answers. I don't use, I would rather fill in the blank than anything. Because if you have A, B, C, D, then it's going to be, you know, and or if can change, you know, the precise little perspective of the sentence. So cover things up. Don't look at anybody else's paper. Don't look at any understanding till we get ourselves get the understanding to share and understand how to study. Also, I use color-coded ink pens like chalk. I'll put the subject in one color. I'll put the action verb in another, and I'll put the noun in, you know, in a noun in the other, and, you know, do it like that. Use different color ink pens. It's all about everybody combining together. With that, I'm going to go in and start closing because we've got 5 minutes. I would like to say thank you, everyone, for believing in me and helping me to be a better person and for all the words and feelings and energy spoken and felt. I do feel each individual one. And I pray that I'm understood while I put a mother voice on. It's not geared at a person. It's something I need to learn and understand myself. We're all teachers in this universe. And we're all students. May each one respect one another. Give them their integrity with the highest amount of boundaries that that person, place, or thing needs. Be grateful when we take something from the earth because it's given freely. As well as when you get something from someone else, use the giver and receive. Act, react. Everything is so simple, we make it so hard. I want to thank my Lord Jesus Christ Almighty for the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. Be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is Kathy Cook, broadcaster at bbsradio.com, station 1 every Tuesday from 5 o'clock Pacific, which is 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So listen up and tune in. Let's bridge that wisdom together. Let's bring our lives octaves, one octave higher, one reverent understanding at a time. And with that, may each and every one of you be true to you so that we can be true. The truth factor will come out to everyone. Connect the dots in your life's puzzle so that we can present a beautiful picture. Don't open the dark room door till God's finished with the picture, or your perspective will be underexposed. With that, thank you, Doug and Don Newsom, and wherever Seth is. I thank BBS Radio. I thank each and every one of you. And with that, I'm going to breathe in and breathe out.